Hello, good morning. It's Sunday. It's our church anniversary. And I thought I'd just come down and see who was around. Some of you haven't seen this building for quite some time. I can assure you it's still here. And it stood here since, it was opened in 1913, so that's quite some time ago. But of course, Bethesda Baptist Church, its history goes back further than that. 1829, a group of 20 people agreed together to form a church, which met just around the corner here in Funnel Road in what was called Dairy Lane. And since then there's been a group of Christians meeting on this spot, seeking to worship God and witness to the new life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just take the opportunity to nip up the side of the church, pop in and have a wee look to see what's going on. We come round this corner here into this passageway, which is very familiar to those of us here. This is a busy place on a Sunday morning. It's teeming with people coming and going. We have our washrooms here on the right, and people meeting each other, just having a little catch up and a chat. Busy during the week as well in this narrow area, and it's really lovely to see those conversations taking place. But we have to appreciate going forward, now that the government has given permission for places of worship to be used, that they've set out guidelines and suggestions and restrictions that are there for our own good and for the good of one another. And I'm quite sure we'll be happy to comply with those things and put them into practice as best as we are able. It's quite narrow up here because of the church on my left. And let me show you this photograph that I have, which shows the site round about in 1911 as it's been cleared prior to the construction of the building that we now use. You can see right across there to the houses that stand even today in Fonero Road. Quite an interesting photograph. So let's just move on up into the church and just have a wee look to see what's happening here this morning. Let's get in here and have a look.
Hello? Hello? Hi, anybody here? Look at this, 10:40 on a Sunday morning, and there's nobody in the place. What's going on here? Where is everybody? What is happening? Of course, we understand, don't we, that during this coronavirus time, we've not been able to meet in the way that we normally would, week by week. And yet we've been so fortunate that we have been able to continue to meet as a church family through the presentation on a Sunday online, and also those who join us with the DVDs. And it's quite amazing how we've had that sense of being together, even though we have been separated by these events. But this is some place, isn't it? And I just make myself ask the question, you know, if these walls could talk, what would be the stories that they would tell? People who have come here and known the presence of God, the comfort of God, the help of God. Those who have come here and done business with God as they've sensed that God has spoken into their lives. Perhaps some people have made some very, very significant decisions here. Decision perhaps to follow the Lord Jesus and to commit their way to Him. As the Bible has been opened up, as God's Spirit has worked, as people have responded to the things that God are saying to them, people's lives have been transformed. And that's a very wonderful thought, isn't it? That down through the years, God has been meeting with His people, and we have had the opportunity to praise and worship Him together. But of course, as we look around the building, and I hope I can do this fairly successfully, as we look around the building, just on this side here, for example, we have the War Memorial, which is a reminder to us of those here in the church who laid down their lives for their country. There will have been young men who in 1913 sat in these very pews and then answered the call to go and serve their country, and they never returned. And during the Second World War, of course, it was a time of great challenge, and yet the church was still able to meet together and people could socialise and they could talk. So what's really happened in recent days has been quite extraordinary as we consider the effects of coronavirus. It's been a truly extraordinary thing. But I was quite struck just to see the posters that are around. Jesus, one name saves all. Jesus is the name high over all. He is the Saviour of all. And we love the Lord Jesus, and we know that he is good news for all people. And we have that responsibility to make the Lord Jesus Christ known through our lives and through speaking about him to others. And then over here, we often have a message up here. I hope you can see that. And I don't know if that was there before we were no longer able to meet, or if somebody's come in and put those words up particularly. God meets you where you are. And that's really true, isn't it? Whatever the circumstances of our lives are, God is willing to meet us and help us in those. So wherever we are in terms of our relation, position before him, he is ever ready to meet with you and me this morning. But it's also true physically, isn't it? We haven't been able to meet together in the way in which we normally do. And yet we have had that lovely sense of still being one together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have known, haven't we, this to be true, that God does meet us where we are. Well, look, there's a service to get on with this morning. Sorry, that's a bit wibbly-wobbly. I don't know where Paul Law is. He and I are meant to be doing this service together this morning. I'm going to be late for the start. Paul? Not quite sure where you are, but can you get things going for us, please? And I'll get up the road as quickly as possible and see if I can join you once you get things going. Thanks a lot.
Well, hi, Andrew. Very good to hear from you. I was beginning to get a little bit worried and to feel a bit socially isolated. So it's good to know that you're down at church. Yeah, I'm quite happy to take the service from here just for a little while. Please take your time on the way back. Don't be breaking any speed limits. And we'll await your arrival with great eagerness as the service progresses. So, welcome everybody. You've already met Andrew, our minister down at the church. I'm Paul, and I do welcome you to our online worship wherever and whenever you are participating. Our prayer is that you will know God's presence and that he will speak to your heart. I want to ask you to think back to a time when undertook a walk in the dark. And you'll know, if you think back to that experience, that walking in the dark is not always easy. Even if you're on a familiar path or a familiar track, all those little indentations and unevenness in the ground, you can't spot them so well in the dark, and maybe little obstacles that you might trip over. So think of an occasion when you've been involved in a walk in the dark, and that was certainly true for Angela and myself. Back in 2017, when we were visiting New Zealand, and we had a great ambition on that second time that we visited New Zealand to see some kiwi. And I don't mean by that New Zealand people, but the flightless birds, which are the kind of symbol of New Zealand. But kiwi are not easy to spot, because unfortunately, sadly, there aren't very many of them left now. But also because they are nocturnal. We got a tremendous opportunity. We stayed at a place called Kiwi Wild Lodge. And the owner of the lodge, the gentleman who owned it, was also the warden of the nearby Kiwi Sanctuary. And about 10 o'clock in the evening, after we'd had a cup of tea with him, he said, "Would you like to come down to the Kiwi Sanctuary with me? I'm just going down to feed the birds now." And so we leapt to our feet. We were very eager to walk with him. And it was about a half a mile. It was pitch dark. And he set off with a big, long stride, typical of a wildlife warden. And I found it very difficult to keep up. My eyes don't adjust very well to darkness. And I really couldn't see where I was going. I do know that we crossed a couple of streams. There were no bridges. It just put a little plank of wood to go across the stream. And really, it was a miracle that I didn't end up in the water, or maybe having one of my famous holiday injuries. But the only reason I got through the walk at all and got down to the sanctuary was because Angela acted as the light. She had her phone, she held it very high up with the torch on. And because of that, I could just about pick my way with safety. And we arrived down at the sanctuary, and eventually, for probably, well, certainly the first and probably the only time in our lives, we did get to see two kiwi for ourselves. They were remarkable birds. Now, our theme for our anniversary service this morning is Jesus, who is the light of the world. We're going to think about his amazing statement, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in the darkness. Angela shone the light for me on our walk in New Zealand, but Jesus is the light. And if we walk with him, then we will not get lost and we will not go astray. And that's the theme of our first song that we're going to join together with now. It's perfectly safe to undertake some singing at home if you want to do so, or to use the song to worship in your heart. And we're going to sing, Light of the World, You Stepped Down into Darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Let's join in worship together.
Oh,
And now let's all join together in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for Jesus, your Son, who is the light of the world. Thank you for sending him to live for a while among us and to show us the truth about yourself and your great love for mankind. Father, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you light up the hearts of all those who come to Christ. Father, we're gathered together this morning in all of our diversity and in our distance to worship you and to thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ. Father, we do pray this morning for those who are going through dark and difficult times, perhaps because of the ongoing challenge of the virus, perhaps for many other diverse reasons. We pray for those who at this time cannot see clearly the pathway of life which lies before them. We pray that they may know what it is to walk with Jesus, to trust him, and to know the reality of his light which shines in the darkness and which will never be put out. We thank you for our church anniversary and for the reminder we have had from Andrew of your many blessings to us as a church fellowship in times gone by. We thank you that although we cannot yet meet together physically in the church building, yet you bring us together as the body of Christ. And we look to you this morning for the future of our church fellowship. In these times of uncertainty, we pray that you will give us your wisdom and lead us forward into the future blessings which we know that you have planned for us. We bring our prayers in the name of Jesus, who is our light and our salvation. Amen. Hi, Andrew. Really good to have you back. Hope you didn't break any speed limits or anything like that getting back from the church. I did make the prayer last as long as I could so that you'd have plenty of time to join us. It was lovely to see you down in the church building this morning. I think that will have brought back a lot of very precious memories for many of the folk who are watching. There was certainly plenty of social distancing, wasn't there, with just you on your own in the building. How did it feel to be down there on your own at church anniversary?
I haven't been in that part of the building for such a long time. And when I first went in and put the lights on and had a look around, it felt very familiar. It felt actually really nice, but in another way, it felt very strange because you just thought this place has not had the life of the church. The church, of course, is the people. It hasn't had that sense of people being in it for such a long time. And it was a kind of very, very mixed feeling in some ways. But it was nice to see that it's all there and it's all in good shape. And it was just nice to be there and talk from there this morning as well. And of course, this is our church anniversary, and we would have had Andre Beck as our preacher today from Bethesda Felixstowe. He's not with us. He's doing something similar to ourselves. But we did take the opportunity during the week just to catch up with him and have a little chat. We thought that might be nice just to make that link. And so here's a little conversation we had with Andre in the last few days. Well, today we would have had Andre Beck preaching for us at the church anniversary, but unfortunately, because of the current circumstances, that's not been possible. But we're so pleased that Andre's agreed to come on board and have a wee chat, say hello to us. Andre, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be able to connect with you guys again.
And I imagine that this particular Sunday, you're obviously prepared something that you're going to be sharing with your own fellowship.
Yep, that's right. So we're busy preaching through Isaiah, and we're in chapter 10, chapter 11. So working through that, a lot of what went wrong with Israel and learning from those lessons.
Wow, that sounds really good. When all this came along, what sort of impact did it have upon the church
there at Bethesda Felix, though?
Yeah, initially it was a kind of strange thing, really, because there was very much a mixed sort of reaction. And at one level, there were people who were afraid of what was going on, and other people very dismissive, didn't feel like everyone was making too much of it. It wasn't as serious as anybody thought. And for some people, it was a mixture of kind of relief. People who were very busy suddenly had a kind of forced breather. You know, they just had to stop for a while. And actually it was kind of invigorating in a strange way, because it meant everybody just had to pause, have a slower pace of life, not try and get as much done. People couldn't work for a while, without losing their jobs, so they weren't quite worried about that, but they just had to slow down a bit. Everyone had to stay at home. And other people very, very frustrated because they were on their own, they were vulnerable, and they were already feeling lonely. And then this exacerbated that tenfold. And so very sort of mixed reactions from people. Some people enjoyed it. The introverts amongst the church kind of beginning to feel that this is life as it always should have been, you know. And then the extroverts all tearing their hair out, not knowing how they're going to get their social fix. So it was a very mixed reaction at first. And, we had to adjust quickly to see how we could tie all of these things together, keep the church connected, keep us, not forgetting our priorities and about gathering on the Lord's Day, try and keep that rhythm going. So all sorts of things going on, really, to begin with.
And churches have been quite adaptable, quite innovative. I mean, obviously, you can't do everything. What sort of things have you been able to kind of pick up with to try and work within the church? I mean, we've done stuff. What sort of things have you been doing?
Yeah, the main thing that we've been doing, which most churches have been doing, have been putting out some live streamed content. So we have all become Zoom aficionados and developed some new skills during this lockdown period, which we'll probably never use after this. But I think it was hilarious. Our Facebook accounts and our YouTube channel, the statistics were coming back with sort of 1,000% increases, because we basically went from no use of our social media account to every day we were using our social media account. So we put out live stream services on Sundays, and we were pleased at the number of folk we were getting along to that. We managed to work out, barring sort of a handful of folk, probably about 9 or 10 folk, technically two handfuls, we managed to get everyone connecting to that somehow. And to those other folk, we then produced a DVD and took it around to them, or a CD, so they could connect, not live, but they could still be part of what was going on there. The other major thing we did was we just divided the church up into pastoral care groups, which is something, to be honest, we were meaning to do anyway. And every elder was assigned to a pastoral care group, and we just, each pastoral care group was committed to calling each other, phoning each other, checking up on each other, and also was to look to neighbors and to their communities as well, and see if they could help out if there were neighbors in need, and just sort of, you know, work out if there were ways that we could love our neighbors and be salt and light in that sense. And then the other thing that we did was I started to do a sort of daily psalm on our YouTube channel. So I didn't know how long it was going to go on for, but I thought one way for us to stay connected and is to kind of feed off the same words together and to use the same prayers for each other every day. So I went through a psalm every day just for a couple of minutes on YouTube, and I'm now on Psalm 102. So, had never, no idea we were going to get that far. And now I'm beginning to wonder if I'm going to make it to all 150 Psalms. I guess we'll see.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's things that's happening current. Recently, the government have eased the restrictions, indeed from this Sunday, on places of worship. I mean, just casting your mind ahead, how do you feel in general terms that this is likely to affect you and be responded to?
Yeah, we're pleased that the government has lifted the restriction. We want to meet again. We have been very thankful to God for technological developments, which have meant that we could continue to sort of meet online together. But it's not the same. And there are some real deficiencies with that kind of a gathering. And so we're eager to get back together. But having said that, it's not as straightforward as just, oh, now the government's given us permission, we can just rush straight into it. And part of that is sort of legal stuff to do with, being trustees of a charity and being able to run safeguarding and risk assessments and implement the things we would need to implement in order to stay safe. And there's lots of logistical difficulties to work through with that. So we want to do that well and responsibly and safely in a way that brings glory to God. And that just is going to take a bit of time to think through. But the other thing is that theologically, it's raised quite big questions for us in terms of, well, what actually is necessary for church? Because there are substantial things that even though we're allowed to gather, we're not allowed to sing. Certainly taking the Lord's Supper is going to be almost impossible. It's not quite impossible. It hasn't quite explicitly, but the restrictions on it are going to make it very, very difficult to do safely. And so if you can't sing, you can't take the Lord's Supper, you can't shake each other's hands, you can't really spend time drinking tea and coffee and having fellowship with each other. And we always encouraged our church to not just ask about the weather, but to ask about each other's walk with the Lord and to pray for each other and to find out about how people are doing. And so it's a really important time, that aspect of encouraging each other and spurring one another on to love and good deeds is an important part of the gathering. And we can't do that. And we can't sing and we can't take the Lord's Supper. And so really what we're going to do is we're going to come and sit in a room and hear the word preached, which is by no means a small thing. But is that what church is, or is that a preaching station? And so we've been thinking that through. The preached word's very, very important, but you don't necessarily need to risk anybody's health to do that. We can get that to people online. And so we're thinking through not only the practical and legal things, but we're thinking through the theological things as well, and how to not just gather together in the same building now that we're allowed to, but to actually do something meaningful when we're there, to be the church in truth when we're there. I mean, how would that look?
Yes, it's very interesting. And these are some of the challenges that we're facing as well, and we're trying to work through. But it's really interesting to hear your thoughts on it. I mean, Andre, you're a husband, you're a dad, you're a pastor of a church, you're a follower of Christ. As we come towards a close, what's particularly encouraged you or helped you up until now through this period, or perhaps even it's something that aspirationally you think about the future? I mean, what's kind of stood by you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of balls to juggle, in the sense that I've suddenly had to learn how to homeschool my kids in subjects like maths and French, which, if anybody knows me, I know absolutely no French and I know less maths. So I had to learn to develop these things, had to learn to work. I was telling you earlier that basically this space, which is my home study, is also the kids' playroom. If I just move the camera slightly that way, you'll see that it's a playroom. And so, it's been difficult to juggle all of that. So essential for me is carving out my own time with the Lord. And the only way I could do that during this lockdown, I'm not a great morning person. I'm much better in the evenings. I usually do my own reflecting and praying once everybody's gone to bed. I just much more able to do that. But during the lockdown, I've switched the routine. I've started going to bed earlier, and I've started to wake up earlier to spend time with the Lord, to pray. And I think it's just put me in a much better frame of mind for dealing with the day, and given me more energy to deal with the kids and that. But I mean, I've generally been very thankful to the Lord As we've gone through the Psalms, I've been essentially sharing the fruit of my own devotions, you know, in the Psalms. And so going through the Psalms every day has helped because it's given me the words to articulate things that I've been feeling. Even if I didn't know how to say them, the Psalms give you a variety of emotions and situations. And that's been an encouragement. And, just clinging to the promises of God, knowing that He's at work. I think one of the biggest struggles for me, to be honest, as a pastor, has been just feeling very disconnected from everything. You know, you preach into this little camera over there, mm-hmm. and you see no responses. Normally, you're feeding off of people's responses. You see their faces. You talk to them afterwards. There's been none of that, and so it's almost like just writing a letter and sending it. And never finding out if it really lands anywhere, if it arrives anywhere. And so the biggest discouragement for me has just been thinking, is this actually doing anything? Is it any good? Is anybody actually growing from this? Or is the Lord still at work? And so just clinging on to promises to know that this might be a difficult time for us, a vexing time for us. We may not understand how everything fits together, but the Lord is still in control. He's still at work. He's still building His kingdom. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I think that's just been an encouragement. So just to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And you can be sure that that what you're preparing and what you're preaching, I'm sure it's being a great encouragement to people. I'm absolutely sure of that. And, you know, we look forward to the opportunity when not only can we as a church family meet together, but we'll be able to have you come and preach sometime in the future. I would book you now for next year's church anniversary, but we've actually got Rico Tice due to be with us the first Sunday in July.
I can't compete with that.
So, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that, but but I just know that's how it's panned out. But we'd certainly love you to be able to come at some point.
And yeah, anytime. I'd love to be back. Love to see you guys again. So,
Please give our greetings to your church. It's really been lovely talking together this morning. So thank you so much for joining with us today. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, I hope you found that helpful. It was really nice to see Andre there. And it was interesting that he was talking towards the end about looking ahead into the future. And there's a particular church in Wales called Bethany Baptist Church. And they've already done a little bit of forward thinking and planning about how perhaps things can work out in their church post-lockdown. And they've put together this helpful guide and film for us. We're going to watch this now.
We at Bethany Baptist Church have put together an informative safety video to reassure you that we have your health and well-being in mind as we return to church. As you enter the church, you can expect a warm and friendly welcome. You'll be greeted by the pastor and will be given the option of a socially distanced handshake. All necessary equipment will be provided. In advance of each service, you'll be provided with hymns that will be played during our time of worship. And to participate, we would ask that you would pre-record yourself at home singing along to each hymn. At church, you will then be instructed by the pastor to press play in unison at the appropriate time.
Then sings my soul,
then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art. It is vitally important that we as a congregation press play at the exact same time so that our voices can be united in perfect harmony. To ensure that we comply with social distancing protocols, the Sunday offering has been slightly altered with your safety in mind. As well as cash, we now accept all major credit cards, including American Express. The offering bag has been modified to accept contactless payments for your convenience. We at Bethany always enjoy a time of fellowship, with tea, coffee and refreshments being served on a Sunday evening. Can I assure you that this is still something that you can participate in at the end of the new services? milk and sugar will be provided in your pews, and all you have to do is avail yourself of your preferences. If you do take your drink with milk, then please take a mouthful before being served your tea or coffee. The pastor will serve the hot drinks while maintaining a safe distance. This will ensure there's no cross-contamination. If you take sugar, then we have disposable spoons for your safety is our priority. Of course, if you prefer your refreshments without either milk or sugar, then your preferences are our priority. We at Bethany always enjoy a biscuit with our tea or coffee, so they too will be served in similar fashion whilst adhering to government guidelines and meeting the social distance requirements. There will be a wide choice of biscuits available, and also those that meet dietary requirements, whether it's vegan, gluten-free, lactose intolerant, whatever it may be, all are available upon request. Baptisms will still take place during these unprecedented times. They will be modified slightly to ensure the safety of both the pastor and the baptisee. If you are interested in a baptism, then please fill out a form as you leave the church. As we say goodbye, it is our primary goal to ensure that you leave church uncontaminated and with a peace of mind knowing that you have been kept safe during your visit with us. On exiting, you will be thoroughly sanitised to ensure that this goal is achieved. We do thank you for visiting with us at Bethany Baptist Church, and we pray that you had a blessed time.
Oh, it was so lovely to see everyone, and such a blessing just to be with everyone in church and to be all together, even though obviously distancing prevented some things. But I really think we've been able to come back properly, you know, we've managed with the social distancing, and yeah, it's been a blessing.
Oh, it was such a blessing being back in church. So lovely to have a fellowship. It was so sweet. It was well worth the sacrifice.
Yeah, I know there was some resistance to returning to church after all the social distancing, but I don't know what the fuss is about. I think, you know, we can maintain this, and this is something that we'll get used to over time, as with anything. You're going to have the odd people who are not going to like the new way of doing things, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. But, yeah, I think the pastor and the diaconate have really thought this out very clearly, and I think this is quite a bright future for the way in which the church can go forward following the lockdown.
Have you got any towels?
Well, goodness me, how do you follow that? Well, I think we do have a way to follow it with Delphine, who is in Andrew and Linda's garden enjoying, I hasten to say, peace and tranquility. I don't think there's any water being thrown about here, other than perhaps the risk that it might rain. But we look forward now to just hearing some of the things that Delphine, one of our long-standing members here at Bethesda, is able to share with us this morning.
Hi Delphine, welcome. It's really nice to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you too, Andrew, and in the beauty of your garden with all its lovely flowers.
Well, all the hard work is Linda, I have to say that, quite honestly. But it's trying to rain, but we're just going to go for it, I think.
Yes, well, I might shrink. That might be a good idea.
Anyway, how have you been finding lockdown?
Not really too difficult. I'm used to being on my own. And I found plenty of things to do. Like so many people, I've sorted out wardrobes and drawers and shredded paper.
Uh-huh.
I have done lots of knitting, crafting and baking.
Yeah.
I've actually started to write my life story.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not really up to modern technology very well. But I've actually started to learn. I've learnt words like Zoom and Team, that a few weeks ago I never heard of. So I found plenty to occupy my time and fill the days.
And have you been able to keep in touch with family and friends?
Yes, I've kept in touch with both my girls and obviously their husbands. They sorted me out with FaceTime.
Brilliant.
Which was another new experience. And the boys, the grandsons as well. Yes, so I've kept in touch, and I've actually been in touch with family in Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it hasn't been too difficult really. Although I have missed going out and meeting people. Well, obviously family and friends, and all my friends are at church. And I've missed all of that, but it hasn't been too unbearable.
Now, you mentioned church there, because today we're thinking a little bit about church anniversary. And I know your connection with Bethesda goes back many, many years. In fact, it was in June 1947 that you became a church member, along with John Sherman.
That's right.
Who's with us in Eventide Homes.
Yes.
Our most senior church member is Audrey.
Yes.
Who joined in October 1945.
That's right.
So it's a fair old stretch. But your links with Bethesda go further back than that, don't they?
Well, yes, they do, actually. I will say my mum took me to Bethesda before ever I was born. And I've been there non-stop ever since. Never moved away, never been anywhere else, and that's been my home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right through the time.
I think you shared recently that until this event with COVID, you thought that you probably spent every Easter Sunday in Bethesda?
As far as I can remember.
Maybe one holiday, but...
Yes, as far as I can remember, yes. And I've certainly been in a church every Easter Sunday, never missed one. And I don't think I've ever missed one at Bethesda, but I wouldn't be 100% sure about that. But yes, so Easter Sunday was strange.
And the whole thing's been very strange. I mean, we've never had a time where we haven't been able to gather together for worship for such a long period.
No.
Quite incredible.
Yes.
So you became a church member back then. Just tell me a wee bit about how you became a Christian.
Well, obviously I was brought up in a Christian home and joined everything at church, Sunday school, Christian Endeavour, later on tennis club. Well, all the things. It was a way of life. All my friends were there, and I went along to everything with my big brother. And I learnt the stories. I knew the story of Christmas, I knew the story of Easter, and everything in between. But it really didn't sort of register too much. It was just something that I did and something that I had learnt. And on a Tuesday evening, we had a Christian Endeavour meeting. And I was there one Tuesday evening, and the speaker was talking about heaven. And the only way to get to heaven was through the Lord Jesus and his forgiveness. And that was the first time it really dawned on me. And I thought, I need to get right with God. And very simply, I did just that. Nothing dramatic at all. A very simple beginning, but what's proved to be a lifetime of a wonderful experience. Just to know he's with me all day, every day.
So, I mean, that was a few years ago, so you've had the chance to test this. Over the years, is there anything in particular that you keep returning to, or something that's helped you along the way as a Christian?
Yes, lots of things. Obviously, when you're at work, all sorts of testing times. Not easy at work to stand up for what you believe in. It used to be a bit ridiculed a bit. But there was always an extra dimension to hang on to that helped me through. And of course, when you have family life, there are ups and downs. And yes, there was always somebody there to turn to, that extra dimension. And lots of scriptures I could turn to. In fact, one of my favourites popped up in my reading this morning. And it was, my name was engraved on the palm of his hand.
Yes.
And I like to think of that. I'm held tight, I'm there.
Yes.
But I think I would have to say my real favourite is 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your care on him. Why? Because he cares. And that is so important. And not just the little things, not just the big things, but everything in between. And I have had to depend on that, especially since I've been on my own.
Yes.
You'd be surprised some of the things I've asked for help for, but I've always had an answer. And one evening I was out in my car, quite a long way from home. It was a dreadful evening. It was pouring with rain. It was dark. You know, it's just one of those awful evenings. And I wasn't looking forward to the drive home. So I gets in the car, starts off, gets down the road, and I'm saying to the Lord, please get me home safely. I'm not really looking forward to this. So I pressed the button on the player in the car. No idea what was coming on. And the very first hymn that it played was Lead Kindly Light. Amid the encircling gloom, the night is dark, and I am far from home. And I just said, thank you, Lord. I played it all the way home. I probably sang along with it.
Yeah.
But I had a wonderful journey home, and I think I saw fewer vehicles that night ever seen. And it's just another proof that the Lord cares, whatever it is.
That's a wonderful story. And I'm sure we'd love to hear more. But as you say, the Lord has been with you and he's kept you.
Yes.
And he's brought you right to this point. And here we are as a church. We're thinking about another church anniversary, remembering God's faithfulness to us.
Absolutely.
But of course, the church is the people of God, and we see his faithfulness to us, in, to us as individuals, don't we?
Yes.
In our lives.
Yes. I have seen, obviously, lots and lots of changes over the years. But that is the underlying thing. God is faithful. He doesn't change. He's just the same as he was all those years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so good. Well, I think you're going to read the Bible passage for us this morning.
Yes.
So that'd be really lovely.
And I think the reading that you have chosen, Andrew, is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And then in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Well, thank you very much, Delphine. That's been lovely. Thank you for sharing in our time this morning. Thank you.
Pleasure.
About a year ago, I had to change my car. The old one, much to my disappointment, suddenly just stopped. And so I had to go out and choose something different. And as I got to use my new car, I discovered a couple of things. First of all, whenever I cleaned the windscreen and used the scooshers, the headlights also got a wash as well, which was quite a surprise. And then I discovered that when I drove it at night time, some of the lights at the front turned with the steering and would sort of follow into the corner that I was approaching. These were things I didn't really ask for, but they're very nice to have. And I guess the reason why the manufacturer put those there was simply to make things safer. When you're driving, particularly at night, it's really important that you can see clearly where you're going so that you can complete the journey successfully, so that you can reach the destination as intended. And we all need that in our lives, don't we? We need a light to show us the way. We need clarity. We need help in completing the journey successfully so that we will reach our eventual home safely. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he said it at the great festival of the Feast of Tabernacles that took place in the temple in Jerusalem. In one of the courts, there were massive candles set up. These were so big that you need a ladder to reach to the top of them. The wick was made from the discarded clothes that the priests had worn throughout the previous year. They were bound together and would create a wick that would be the thickness of a person's thigh. There were huge reservoirs of oil that fed the lamp. It was said that when the lamps were lit at night, that every house and every courtyard in Jerusalem was flooded with light. And the Feast of Tabernacles reminded God's people how he had acted in the past, how he had rescued them and brought them from slavery to liberty. And it's in that context that Jesus says these wonderful words that we're thinking about this morning. He says, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light in the Bible is associated with a number of things. It's associated, for example, with the creation of life. We're told in Genesis chapters 1 through to 3 that God's first step in creating the world was to overcome darkness. He created light, and he separated day from night, light from darkness. And light provides the conditions by which life can begin. We know how important light is for life. Without light, life remains dormant. Some years ago, we had a family holiday down to Torquay, and there we visited an attraction called Kent's Cavern. It's a complex of caves. We enjoyed going there. We saw the stalactites and the stalagmites and everything that the guide pointed out to us. And at one point, the guide said, "I'm going to turn all the lights out. Make sure you're holding on to something." And it went completely dark. You couldn't see a single thing. But there was a story attached with Kent's Cavern, which was that, unknown to them, there had been seeds that had been lying dormant in the caverns. And when electric light was introduced in order to help with the safety of the tourists who visited, something unusual and unexpected happened. Prehistoric ferns sprang to life. People didn't know the seeds were there, but when the light was introduced, something which had remained dormant in the darkness came alive. And for spiritual life, we need God's light. And Jesus said, "I am that light." We will always be groping around in the darkness if we turn away from the light that God has given to us. And that light is in his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's not a matter of looking within to some inner light. It's looking to the true light who has come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. You drive across Holland, and in some areas you just pass acres of greenhouses. You drive across the same area at night, and it's all brightly lit. The greenhouses provide shelter, they provide warmth. They're trying to provide the optimum conditions for that plant to flourish. And part of that is light. And sometimes they kind of artificially light those areas to bring the plants on so that they'll be healthy and mature. You wouldn't get a light, you wouldn't get a greenhouse and then cover over the roofs, because you know how valuable, important the light is. So why would you choose to shut out the light of Jesus? That light is so essential. Spiritual life is found in him. And if we close ourselves off from the Lord Jesus, then we close ourselves off from the source of spiritual and eternal light. So get rid of those shutters, open up, and come to the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. Light also speaks of direction and guidance, the avoidance of danger. So in the Bible, we find how the children of Israel were led from Egypt to the promised land. And at nighttime, God provided a cloud of fire, which effectively provided a great light. We know that God's words are spoken about in terms of being light. When he says things to us, it's in order to guide us and to help us. So in Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Paul shared his experience at the beginning of our time this morning about how he desperately needed the light of another to show him the safe way when he was on holiday. And we know how lighthouses, for example, they warn of danger, but they also show the right way. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life." In 1939, Britain faced a great challenge. War had already broken out. And King George VI, when it came to his speech to the nation at Christmas time, he quoted a poem. And the part of the poem, it went like this. It's the gate of the year. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.'" And that's really powerful, isn't it? You know, I'm looking for light, I'm looking for help. I can give you something better than that. Put your hand into the hand of God. And the Lord Jesus, he comes to us today and he says, "Follow me." It's a call to commitment. The disciples were encouraged to follow him. And we too, this morning, are invited again to follow the Lord Jesus and to know him in our lives. When Jesus spoke in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, there came a point where he spoke about light there, but he changes it around a little bit from where we've gone so far this morning. He says, let me read it to you in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus says that he's the light of the world and that we must come to him. But he also reminds us that those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to be lights for him in the places where he has put us. And on this church anniversary Sunday, which is so different from any other church anniversary that I'm sure Bethesda Baptist Church has ever experienced, it's really important that we remind ourselves that God has shown his love and his light and his life to us in order that once we have received that, we might display it to those round about us. And this is the ongoing challenge and privilege and responsibility that we have as God's people, as we live within Ipswich and its surrounding areas, as we are part of this community, as we share in the ups and downs of everyone who lives in this area with us, that in this place God wants us to shine for Christ so that as we reflect his life in our lives, others too might come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for that really helpful message. And I think it's incredible to think that Jesus, who is the light of the world, says to us as his followers, "You are the light of the world." And that's a huge privilege, I think. But it's also a massive challenge. And it's only as his light shines in our hearts that we will be able to bring that light, that reflected light, as it were, into the lives and the circumstances of others, into the community which is around us. We really need his help in order to do that. So we're going to come towards the conclusion of our service now as we sing another song of worship and invite you all to join in if you feel comfortable with that. It's Hear the Call of the Kingdom. And one of the verses says this: hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light. Let's join together in worship. Encourage you to use Family News to keep up to date with what's happening within the fellowship. There's lots of very valuable and interesting material there in Family News this week, and you'll find that it's an excellent focus for your prayers on a day-by-day basis. So I'd encourage you to look there and really to pray for each other and for the circumstances within our nation at this time. We're going to now come to a final prayer together. Let's all pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful experience of knowing your Son Jesus and the light that he brings even to the darkest places. We pray for our church and its leadership as we face the challenge of the gradual lifting of the lockdown. Give us the wisdom to do what is right, both collectively as a fellowship and individually. Father, we pray for the trustees, the residents, and the staff of the Eventide Home. We thank you that you have kept them safe during this time of great danger for care homes. We pray that you will continue to do so and that you will be really close to the residents at a time when many of them may well feel isolated from family and from friends. May they know your presence. Father, we pray for our families within the church fellowship. We know there's been a partial return to school in some cases, but continued homeschooling in the majority of cases. And we pray for parents and for their youngsters as they continue to meet that challenge up to the end of the summer term. We do pray for our teachers and all those who work in education as they face the great challenge now of planning for the safe return of all pupils from September. We pray for those within our fellowship who do have particular health problems, who are still shielding and keeping away from normal contacts. May they know your presence. And may they know also the love and support of others within the fellowship through online contact and telephone conversations. We pray for our nation, where there is significant unrest alongside the challenge of COVID-19. We ask that you will give great wisdom and integrity to our leaders at this time. We pray for Anne, for the work that she does and the challenges her organization continues to face at this time. We pray for Paul and Mel and their family, and particularly for Paul's dad, Arthur. We pray for Steve and Sharon and for their family. Father, we would have just a moment of quiet now so that each of us in our own homes, in our own settings, can bring others to you in prayer. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to the one who walks beside in the darkness, and who will present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
So, Andrew, I do wish you well during the rest of today and in the coming week. And I think it's just time for us to sign off and to say goodbye to all the folks who've been with us today.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Good to see you.
Cheerio. God bless you.